You're listening to Sound and Nick's Vision on Siren 107.3 FM.
A wonderful, wonderful way to actually launch the next volume in Sound and Nick's Vision, because, of course, we have the legend that is Nick Elliott in the studio, don't we, Nick?
We do, Alex. Hello, how are you?
And we've also got a newbie for Sound and Nick's Vision, stepping into the footsteps of a young person who has never heard many of these tracks before in any way, shape or form, but will be giving us undivided attention on that. It's Chloe Baker. How are you, Chloe?
I'm well, thank you.
Brilliant. I'm with Nick, obviously, sort of, it's your show. David Bowie, why did we launch with that track from Hunky Dory?
Fantastic track. Just love it to bits. Definitely one of the best he ever did. We were just saying actually a few minutes ago that I wasn't really a massive Bowie fan.
Which almost led to the show being stopped there and then.
you were considering it.
I
just love the track. I don't think you need to be a fan to appreciate a lot of the stuff he did.
And clearly a major artist in his own way.
Indeed.
Personally, his old days of the Laughing Gnome and his days of David Jones.
That was a good track.
Classic in its own
way. Yeah, it was a good track. We just listed quite a lot of good tracks, considering I wasn't a fan.
Precisely.
We're up to about 20.
There you go. But the key question is, Chloe Baker, what did you make of Queen Bitch from the Hunky Dory album by David Bowie?
Well, I've been fed the Hunky Dory album for years because my dad is a massive Bowie fan. So quite well acquainted with it.
Exactly. And is it your favourite track on the album, or is it something which you just thought,
No. Favourite track's Life on Mars, I think.
Right.
On the album.
Not on Hunky Dory.
It's not on Hunky Dory.
Yes. Never mind. I would have thought when we were talking about David Bowie, you might have gone for Diamond Dogs.
No. Bad period.
There we are. Okay, but interesting artistic gatefold sleeve, certainly. Still, let's not go there. Not this early on the show. On the show today, we will be featuring Ian Dury and his Blockheads up next, in fact. And a special guest, because, Nick, it's your first ever telephonic guest.
It is. The legend that is Sandy Newman, frontman for The Marmalade.
Yeah, so he'll be joining us as well as more tunes from The Marmalade. The Beach Boys and others will be on the show. But we mentioned Ian Dury. Sadly, no longer with us. He's moved into the great recording studio in the sky. But as, I can imagine this being a motivating factor when you're actually in the studio taking shots of individuals and so on and so forth, except it's hit me with your light stick, presumably, or photographic stick as opposed to rhythm stick. But yeah, why have we gone for this one, please?
My association with the Blockheads, of which I did a lot of work with them. About 2003, I shot a lot of promo stuff, album covers, and spent a lot of time with the Blockies. And they were one of my kind of all-time legendary bands. Not only even Dury, but I think the Blockheads were always a bit overshadowed by Dury, although they are awesome band. Awesome.
In the deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan
to wrap that up with, I say, steady on, but perhaps not. It gets very carried away. And Chloe, you were aware of Ian Dury and the Blockheads with Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
Yeah. I feel this is going to be a... I'm not very good with names, but I remember songs.
That's the ideal co-presenter for Sound and Nick's Vision, isn't it?
Indeed. Anyways,
the image, a picture, all sorts of things there. So what did you make of it, Chloe? Was it a tune that helped you get out of bed in the morning? Was it helped you focus on your academic work as a postgraduate student of public relations?
Yes, I feel like it's a metaphor of me needing to be hit with a rhythm stick to get my work done.
It's quite profound, that statement, isn't it? Making its own way. Sue Royce, Emma Tinson, Eat Your Heart Out with a response like that. It's phenomenal.
Can't keep up.
It's great stuff. Okay, Marmalade coming up in a few moments, not with toast, but with a variety of other bits and pieces, and we're going to be speaking to Sandy Newman. Before we obviously go there, Nick, would you like to just explain the importance of Sandy Newman in rock history, pop history, and how you're going to be working with him very shortly?
Well, actually, I've done a lot of work with him, which was 2013, and I released my third book, which is 3 Weeks, One Summer. Comes out at the end of this month, and it is a documentary of the making of Penultimate, which was the Marmalade's last album, which was a bit of a kind of a new type of innovation for what those guys had done. They'd taken a bit of time out, Sandy had taken a bit of time out, and he then came up with this concept, which had been laying around his head for a long time, of doing several new tracks and putting them together with some of the old stuff, which he'll explain a bit more about it when we speak to him on the phone. And he brought me in to put a rock and roll kind of creative side to it visually, and ended up shooting a triple gatefold vinyl and sleeve notes, and went to a CD, and then we moved it on to a book. So it is literally a documentation of the whole project from start to finish, and it was shot over a period of 3 weeks, one summer, hence the title. And that's released at the end of this month. April? Yes, we are. The end of this month. So that's the...
Break that in there, Nick, because you were just waxing so lyrical about the fabulous nature of Marmalade. I just thought, let's go falling apart at the seams. I could have used the well-worn link that would have suggested gatefold sleeve, presumably when it was produced as an album, it didn't fall apart at the seams.
No, it didn't.
No, it wouldn't, because how else could we actually say that your first ever telephonic guest is with us online now? Who might this be, Nick Elliott?
It's the legend who is Sandy Newman.
Sandy hey. Newman! Welcome. Welcome.
A very good afternoon to you both. How are you?
Hey, my friend. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, Nick. I'm good. Thank you.
You just realise how good the material of Marmalade was when you actually listen to something like Falling Apart at the Seams. And it's phenomenal stuff. And in fact, one of your other colleagues, I think the drummer from Marmalade, is the manager of a young lady called Lindsay Gold, who we'll be actively promoting on the station. So it's all great stuff there. You might say, what's his name? I've forgotten. Don't worry. Anyway, Nick, it's your show. Chat away with Sandy and just sort of share with us. One question, if I may, Sandy. What's Nick like as a photographer to work with? Because before this show today, this is a special reveal for the listener. Nick was actually the subject whilst Ace publicist Kat was actually taking the photographs.
Oh, I see.
And I got a feeling he might just throw a wobbly if pushed. So, you know, anyway.
Well, you know, it's a different side of the camera, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, to work with Nick, to work with on anything to do with photography, it's just a pleasure, because you know it's happening, but it's almost like it's not happening. He works to a vision, and he's the man behind the lens that seems to capture things that you can be standing looking at it, but you don't capture it. You know, it's quite a unique art, I think. You know.
High praise indeed. I can see why you booked a for your first telephonic guest, Nick.
That's all right. As long as the check's in the post, that's fine.
I'm coming over on my bike later on. It's all in a bag, Sand. It's all in a bag.
Oh, no. It's true what I say. It's a pleasure to work with you in that capacity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So... share with us the love, because you've said there's a long story to this, which we got part of.
Yes, there is. I met Sandy in Nashville while we were both working out there. I just forget what year it was, 2010 probably.
10,
and
actually,
yeah. God, that long ago. And we spent some serious time together, and it was just one of those kind of chemistry things where you thought, oh, God, this guy's going to end up being a lifelong friend. You know, we grew very close, and creatively we'd already got that kind of thing going on. And we spoke very much while out in the US about it would be great to do something together. And then 2013, I got the call, and we kind of hooked up in Clacton, sunny Clacton. And
is that Clacton-on-Sea?
Indeed it was.
My word.
We hadn't been for years. And it was a lovely day, and we met everybody there and run through some concepts up. Prior to that, Sun sent over pretty much a selection of demos of the music that they were using for the album Penultimate. And then we put together some kind of ideas and concepts and how the project would go, and took it from there. And it was so, so wonderful to spend some time with such lovely people. And creatively, it was a real blast. It was a real kick.
And they're genuinely saying that. It's not just a case of they're on the Brit Awards sort of taking their whole routine. They're all wonderful people. It's Alan Whitehead, the name of the chap I couldn't remember. Have you encountered Alan Whitehead before, Sandy? Or was that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, when I very first got involved in Marmalade, Whitehead had been brought back into the band.
Yes.
But that was when I joined. That was a good few years before the Falling Apart of the Seams success. But, I played with Alan for up until 19... I think he left in 1979. Mm. You know, sometimes these numbers, although they may seem a little... They seem to me like it was only yesterday, but it's actually a long time ago.
When we were speaking to Alan, he was talking about Crispy and St. Peter's as though it was just a little a month ago, really. But still, Pied Piper.
Oh, yeah.
Whole range of things there. He's currently, as I say, managing a fine lass called Lindsay Gold. But moving on, we have, as mentioned, Chloe Baker also in Sound and Next Vision today. Chloe, what did you make? Because it's the first time you've encountered the Marmalade.
It is. Well, I've heard the songs. Mm-hmm. I'm just not familiar with the name.
Exactly. But it's spreading the whole routine. And presumably, you were quite impressed with what we'd heard, because the next one, which is coming up, which is a classic called Reflections of My Life, I think it's just even more outstanding.
Marvellous track.
In fact, I'm going to ask Sandy if he's able to introduce that in a few moments, so we can work through that. I gather we were banned from playing Oh Bloody, Oh Bloody. I can't even say it now, can I? Because
No.
I could sense Sandy.
Far too commercial.
I could sense Sandy at the other one. I say, they're not. I'm going to contact my agents straight away. You're not going to get that. No, it'll be Reflections of My Life. The album title Penultimate, does that mean there's still one more to come? I mean, technically.
Ah, that's a question for Sandy.
Yeah.
Well, I was struggling to try and harness the idea of doing an album at all. But the reason that I wanted to do an album was because the lineup of the band was so strong. It felt like the old days in the true sense, where you would go in and make a record together. And that's pretty much what happened on that. And it was the first time that it happened for the Marmalade in well over 20 years. Actually going into the studio properly, recording it, what I still call it old school, you know. The guys playing the proper rhythm tracks together, you know, as opposed to one at a time. And as I say, I was struggling to try and harness the whole idea, and I thought, well, you know, because my original thing was this is going to be the last one.
In which case it would have been the ultimate, surely.
It was going to be the ultimate because, you know, it's been a long time, and, you know, things have a life, and there's a historical part of Marmalade, obviously, you know, the success, I guess, speaks for itself, but it was when it was. But, I was thinking maybe a last statement of some form. But it was going so well and it's so enjoyable. I don't know. I can't actually remember. I think I was standing, indulging in a cigarette at the back door of my house and late one night, which is quite often what I do. And this title came into my head as the meaning, you know. I'm thinking, well, hey, maybe this is not a last one. In fact, there's no reason why it should be.
Absolutely.
You know?
Totally.
We're looking at the album cover present. Presumably, Nick, this was your work?
Yes, it was, yeah.
I recognise the wonderful monochrome textures there. They're looking very moody, this band. And, of course, technically, it's the Marmalade.
It is.
We've got to be precise here. Yeah. Otherwise, there would be other forms of toast covering are available. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. When you were actually posing for that routine, I mean, Chloe, would you like to describe that particular image that we see there?
Look like they're on sand dunes.
Yep, definitely look as though they're on sand dunes. Looking a little bit moody.
All with sunglasses on, of course.
Yeah, so presumably you were shooting this in the middle of December then.
No? It was freezing cold.
So was cold. Can't be nice rock level and roll without sunglasses. And was this Clacton?
No, this is the North Norfolk coast, a place called Home by Sea. It's just a marvellous place. It's a particular kind of geographic area on the coast where it literally just gives three dimensions, which is the sea, the sky and the sand. And you can actually do a lot with these three basic elements. And it's very earthy, which is something else that we wanted to kind of, you know, put through the visuals, that this thing didn't have a destination. It could go as far as the eye could see, as the mind could take you. And that was shot, I think it was August Bank Holiday Monday, I think, if I'm right, Sandy, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, because it was really quite busy. We had to duck and dive.
We did. We
real
did.
People passing by.
But it was the light and that, and the weather was fantastic, and we spent a lot of days recceing it before we actually decided, you know, that was the day we were going to shoot the thing, just to make sure that I'd got everything right that I wanted to, you know, achieve from it. And it just worked really well. And we shot quite a series of images on that particular beach, which feature in the new book. There's the plug.
Yeah.
It's always important that these books and things are sorted through there. And I see some of the tunes you've actually got on the album. Absolutely. Love Hurts, Back on the Road, Rainbow, of course, Just Like a Woman. And the one we're about to actually hear now, track 14, to be precise, 18. So, I mean, you weren't skimping on the number of tunes that we've got, Sandy. It wasn't a case of, well, we'll put in seven tracks and then be a couple of bonus features. You've got 18 classics here.
Yeah, well, there was, you know, when I decided to actually take it through as an album, there was kind of different threads. There was a retro thread, you know. There were songs that we played on stage over the years, and there were some really proper new tunes, which is really where it kind of started. Because I was, from when I met Nick in Nashville, I was going to do a follow-up album, and I'd started writing some things. My son got involved, who's in the band with me now as well. He got involved in the writing side, and so it just seemed a shame to try and just put a 12-track album for no reason at all, bearing in mind the purpose of doing it in the first place was to, this is this band now. That's what penultimate is, you know. It's not like this is this band. Okay, I know there are some Marmalade songs, but it's the way we do them now. You know, it's not like let's remake the old records, you know.
I'm very impressed as well, Nick, that you actually went for Sand Dunes with Sandy. Genius.
Well, it's just part of the creative process.
Exactly. You start with the name.
It gets you out of a day.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, perfect way to actually launch the genuine sort of feeling of the show, the heart of the show, Sound and Nick's Vision. Put in one now, Sandy. Would you like to introduce Reflections of My Life by your good self and the Marmalade? Over to you, sir.
For all your listeners this afternoon, or whenever you're hearing, please enjoy. From the Marmalade, Reflections of My Life.
The changing of sunlight to moonlight, reflections of my life.
Tomorrow, take me back to my old home.
Astounding. Chloe Baker, what did you make of Reflections of My Life with Marmalade?
I liked it. I would listen to it on a Sunday afternoon on a balcony with the sun out. I think that would suit it nicely.
Well, setting the image as well. Sand Dunes with Sandy, Nick.
Only you could have spotted that.
Oh.
Wonderful, Jan. And hopefully we'll be joining us again in the near future. I think a good first guest.
Oh, thank you.
What did producer Kat think? A good first guest, do you think?
Brilliant.
Very good. Yeah, excellent. I was going to say you're listening to Sound and Next Vision. Of course, that's Kat's job, so we'll sort out something else completely different. We move from Sandy Newman to the Beaches. See what we did there? You're hitting the helmet.
Amazing. Thing.
The Beach Boys, to be precise. Why have we done this? Q? No, Zoe, obviously. Sorry, Chloe, obviously clearing her throat there. Why have we done this? God only knows. Sometimes you have the rehearsal, you write everything down. Can they connect with it? Unbelievable.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
You're listening to Sound and Nick's Vision on Siren 107.3 FM.
An era 10 years after God Only Knows and the Beach Boys, or thereabouts, 1970s, when perhaps we did have anarchy in the UK. I don't know, Nick, it's your choice. Why? Why have we gone from God Only Knows and the Beach Boys through to the Sex Pistols and anarchy in the UK?
God Only Knows and the Beach Boys is just happy memories of my early days in this business. And an attraction to Blakeney Point on the North Norfolk coast.
Not often contrasted with California, it has to be said.
No. But we'll say no more about that Sunday in the wet.
I mean, did you surf? Because, I mean, even...
No, I didn't. It was my first trip to Blakeney Point with a photographer that I was associated with and working with at the time, early days of my career. And I'd never been to Blakeney Point. He said, let's go to Blakeney Point. So we went shooting off to Blakeney Point. And then ended up just getting really wet in the attempt of trying to wade out to the dunes. And
so
the dry bits.
Quite literally getting a tan by standing in the English rain.
Indeed. And not really realising how dangerous Blakeney Point was to try and wade out in your clothes.
So, well, you're still with us, obviously, so that's important.
Indeed.
Is your colleague still with us?
I haven't seen him for a long time.
So
but
we
was.
Are spending too much time at Blakeney Point, then.
Could be.
Chloe Baker has returned. Yay! And hopefully has sorted herself out. Marvellous. You're a consummate professional. Leave the studio when you're about to cough all over the place. It's very important. Care for her fellow presenters. Chloe, Sex Pistols, way before you were born, when this kind of group were put together to kind of revolutionise the whole music movement and to act as a, you know, the standard bearers of the punk movement. But you were familiar with Anarchy in the UK?
Yes.
How does it stand up today? I mean, do you sort of think, how charming, I'll get out the old bin bags and staples.
Well, I wouldn't be an anarchist, but I think the whole punk thing's really cool. I kind of sort of dress a bit punkish. Try and dress
with the safety pins, of course. Well, that's so you see. I wouldn't be an anarchist, but it's interesting. And maybe that was the whole essence of Malcolm McLaren's movement, because was it more fashion than anything else, ultimately?
That's where it started, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, his involvement was.
Very much so.
And Vivian Westwood and that whole Chelsea thing.
Precisely. We could go into Susie and the Banshees and more. But we won't, because we want to share the Sex Pistols with your good self. It is, of course, Sound and Nick's Vision and Glenn Matlock.
Yes, that's my connection. Plus the fact that I just love the band. This was a great album. It was a wonderful album. Some great tracks of it. But I've been doing a lot with Glenn Matlock over the past 2 or 3 years on and off. And working possibly on a new project to be released later on in the year,
so
where
so
it will feature.
Teasers. Nick, how can people stay abreast of the key things that you're putting together? What's the website that they need to go to find out more about Nick Elliott?
The best place to go is nickelliott.eu. That's Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, nickelliott.eu. Everything's on there, press office, and there's the store, and all the fine art and stuff I'm working on, and lots of stories, TV, interviews, radio, and this show.
Well, there we have it.
And you can listen again.
You can indeed, in the podcast form. And we hope you enjoy it, because you can always sort of, I mean, as we said, Nick, people can feel free to connect and write in their own choices.
Indeed. Twitter, Facebook,
exactly.
All the usual.
All those key things. Little Geordie Chappie in charge of AC/DC.
Brian.
Exactly. Possibly the lead singer on this next little tune. Obviously, AC/DC, one of their members, have kind of gone into the naughty books. Seriously.
Bit of a tinker.
Let's face it, we would, for Siren 107.3 FM, quite happily say, if you're in the music business and your album sales don't go as well as anticipated, shooting the public relations people responsible, not a good idea. I think you'd endorse that, wouldn't you?
Lynn? I would definitely endorse that. Please don't do that.
Exactly.
And I think Kat would also.
Yeah, precisely.
That's
exactly. In fact, we might add that onto the jingle. You're listening to Sound Nick's Vision. Don't shoot the PR person.
Indeed. Okay?
It's very good. It's a kind of reinforcement. Go with us. Why have we actually decided to go to hell in this particular area? Is it because it's not... No, I'm sorry. That's the book of cliched presenter link site. Who's written this sort of thing? Why have we gone for this next tune, please?
AC/DC was a band that I always wanted to see. I saw them in 2000 and they changed my life. Enough said.
Show production that goes on. Actually, sort of recorded this. You'd probably have a show in itself. Chloe, AC/DC, what did you make of them?
I've always liked AC/DC.
Really?
Yes.
A little Rockette from Norwich. Very good. It always surprises us. And your connection, why did they influence you so heavily? Why did they change your life?
Well, like I said, I'd always wanted to see them. I would dearly, dearly like to work with them. But I saw this show and just the sheer power, the energy, and how good they were was just breathtaking. It was breathtaking. And for me, it was one of those kind of changing moments in my life where I thought, well, I've got to go somewhere else with what I'm doing here. And up the bar, and it was just literally a spiritual life-changing event.
Shall we invite Chloe, as it's her first show, to decide whether we go for Motorhead next or for Jethro Tull? Because otherwise I think we could be here for a long time. So, Chloe, Jethro Tull or Motorhead?
Well, I'm going to go for Jethro Tull. Because I've not listened to them, but I've listened to Motorhead.
That's all right. Well,
so something new.
Something new, something borrowed, something blue. It's The Witch's Promise. Would you like to introduce it, Nick?
Lovely track. Jethro Tull, Witch's Promise.
Thank you. send me your ear, but I call you a fool. You're waiting for more, but you've already had your machine. Oh, it's just promises turning, so don't you wait up for him, he's going to be late.
The Rock Train, leaving the station every other Thursday, 8 till 10, bringing you the best local and international bands from the world of rock and metal. The Rock Train, no tracks are too heavy.
Splendid. Another one of those Thursday night specials. This is, of course, Sound and Exhibition, probably going out live, if you're listening to it live on a Thursday night. Yes, finally, Volume 4-5, we've settled on a time slot, and it's looking as though it's going to be Thursdays, 7 o'clock.
Lovely.
On a monthly basis, that's the key thing. So, wonderful. Really, after the stresses and strains of a sort of busy day, you can kick off your whatever and listen to Sound and Exhibition.
Can't think of a better way to pass an hour.
Did you enjoy Jethro Tull, Chloe Baker?
I think I preferred Motorhead.
That's okay then, because
they're coming up, aren't
they? They are. So you see,
this best of both worlds.
Looking ahead in every sense of the word, and indeed, as Kat said, it's nice we squeezed in a bit of Lemmy. I thought she said lemon, and I thought, where were we going? No, as in Lemmy of Motorhead. Have you worked with them, Nick?
I have on the 30th anniversary tour.
Yeah, and are they fun or are they just crazy?
They're loud
everywhere.
Seriously loud.
Do they play cards?
Well, I don't know.
Pointless, really.
Phil Campbell, he's a lovely guy.
I sense this will be being played in Lincoln quite a lot at the end of the month of May, when we actually have a Harley Davidson event at Lincolnshire Showground.
Oh.
I just have a sense that it might happen. Sound and Exhibition almost at an end, Nick. I can't believe it. Show. And Chloe has never listened to herself live as such, so she's going to have an exciting experience, aren't you, Chloe?
Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. I can't wait.
Although, technically, if you're actually being metaphysical about this whole thing, I don't want to get complex. If you are listening to this now and Chloe says tomorrow evening, it's not on a Friday as well, it's on a Thursday. I just very quickly use the podcast, that's what I say as well. Splendid. Yes, Siren 107.3 FM. We will get there. In the words of Clem Burke and Jimmy Destri, Frank Infante, yes. And Nigel Harrison, I believe, who were the backing vocals to a young lady called Deborah Harry.
Yes.
For this last band that is going to see us out of the programme. Have you worked with these New York folk before?
Done a little bit. Mm. Yeah, a couple of three times with the legend that is Debbie.
Harry, of course.
Indeed.
Deborah Harry, but she's gone Debbie Harry, etc.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of a highlight of my career being invited to shoot Debbie Harry.
You obviously in a photographic sense.
You couldn't say no.
Because otherwise we're back into AC/DC territory again.
Oh, indeed we are, yeah.
Just want to put that a little reminder on
the legend that is Debbie.
Yeah, exactly. And a band that still resonates.
Yeah, still very good.
The 21st century.
Played Glastonbury last year, did a very good set.
Are you a blondie very band, good. Chloe?
Yes, I like any female rock kind of person.
Any female rock kind of person.
I like a lot of them because I think she's just so cool.
I think it's fair to say, Nick, that Debbie Harry is a cool person.
Oh,
and
indeed.
That wraps up the show today. So thanks, Chloe Baker. Thanks to Kat for being a fantastic studio audience as ever. Yay, Kat! It's just so rock and roll. And Nick, back again next time when we may well be Sound and Nick's Vision on location.
Yes, all being well.
Sound and Nick's Vision on location. Will you be with us, Chloe, on location?
Should be.
Yay!